short listen to this piece of history.
A paradise of poor lighting and faux wood panels.
That's sexist!
Then take a unicycle down memory lane.
This is quality broadcasting right here.
Is this scripted? I don't know what's going on.
Oh, the humanity.
David M. Green.
I'm your number one fan.
I'm your number one fan, David.
Yeah, whatever.
Using his sound engineering skills acquired through the long nights panelling brain damage.
Who is it?
His name is David M. Green, and he's in Australia, of all places. And he does a show called
David M. Green's Summer Powwow.
Well, that's what I thought. Okay.
Little help.
Hello and welcome to the show. Radio Adelaide Station Management actually wanted to call the comedy show. No joke there, unfortunately. But thank God we compromised and they accepted Powwow, which is the show you are currently listening to on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM. I'm David M. Green, the curator, and with me both in spirit and in reality is my good, close, personal, good, close friend, Radio's Tim Ray.
It's great to be so close to you, David.
And real. As nice. Tim, how have you been these last 20.916 Earth years?
Pretty hot and sweaty today.
Yeah.
But the last...
Does that represent the entire existence?
Pretty much. Right, yeah, then. I'd agree with that.
Nice. Well, I can tell you 33% of tonight's show will be dedicated to an interview with legendary Channel 9 voiceover guy. No, it's not Ken Sparks. It's the other one, Pete Smith.
Oh.
We'll be talking about his work as a voiceover guy, as well as his Order of Australia and his love of big band music from the 1930s. For one thing, why? He did answer it. Also coming up in the show, movie preview for all our avid Canadian listeners, because, of course, if there is one group, one minority group of listeners out there underrepresented, it's Canadians, particularly at Radio Adelaide, as we're not in Canada. Smitty's got my driving tips, reverse song Hidden Message Mayhem, as well as some obscure 80s new wave music played at the correct speed and direction from such artists as provide generic examples here. But who are they? Well, perhaps ironically, these people can sympathise with your position, your subject or powwow on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM. So.
I'm Alan Brough, and you're listening to
Powwow
on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM.
For 140 years, the nation of Canada has been on the sidelines of world affairs with only maple syrup and an excellent healthcare system for company. Ho-ho! But all that's about to change. Due to a typo discovered in the U.S. Constitution, the United States is about to get its 51st member. And they're none too happy about it.
Mr. President, according to this piece of paper I found in the White House basement, Canada belongs to us.
Sounds like a positive response to me.
Canadians everywhere are taken by surprise when they wake up one morning only to discover their beloved country is now part of North Dakota. And if they want to stick around, they're gonna have to make a few changes.
Hey, finally, my 18th birthday. Am I gonna get drunk tonight? What the A?
I don't think so, Canada.
There's a black sheep in the American household, and his name is Canada. And you won't believe the crazy laws they've been making. But before the American people accept Canada as their own, U.S. officials suggest a few minor alterations.
Listen, people, please. There's no doubt Americans will come to accept Canada in time. But to help things along the way, my staff and I have come up with a three-step program. Instead of British Columbia, American Columbia. Instead of French Canada, Freedom Canada. Canadian bacon? Kevin bacon. Gay rights? Yeah, right. Sorry, fellas, the Bill of Rights is full. You don't have the right to do that to Bill around here.
Hey, you can't do that.
Yes, we can. Adur.
Mike Myers and Celine Dion join a cavalcade of prominent Canadian actors in the most anticipated motion picture of 2008. This summer, get ready for Snow Canada. North of the border, host of American comedy, Snow Canada. Rated PG-13.
Hi, I'm David M. Green. With me is Tim Ray. This is... Sorry.
Yep.
Wait your turn. This is Pow Wow on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM. Just earlier there, you heard, as I did, Duran Duran with Please, Please Tell Me Now, and I just did. Tim, have a round of applause.
Is it my turn to speak yet?
Yeah, please. Interrupt as much as you like.
Fantastic. Thank you.
This is your room. I'm just dancing in it.
Great.
To quote a top 40 song from a long time ago. How are you? What's been happening?
Not a lot. I enjoyed watching you eat your dinner tonight.
Was good.
Yeah?
We went to Hungry Jack's just before the show, and we were sitting outside. This is the one on West Terrace that has that little outside area. It's part of a Shell service station. And
sort of petrol fumes as you're trying to eat. It's beautiful.
It mixes in with the oil on the burger.
Yeah.
And one of those Adelaide comedy Black Thunder-type vehicles drove into the drive-thru, and we could see in the passenger seat Dave Callan.
Yes.
Is that the guy's name? Guy who kind of looks a bit like Billy Connolly. And he was in the first series of Rove, and now he's a stand-up comedian.
Yep. Do you remember what they ordered?
No, I couldn't hear. But the light caught his face in a very humorous manner.
It did.
Obviously, it doesn't translate very well over the radio. You'll have to imagine it. Yeah. Good times.
Good times.
Yeah, shouldn't have got the large. Regular would have been sufficient.
Yep.
Now, Tim, you've done a bit of voiceover work.
Why, yes,
before.
I have.
Yes. That's nice. I need only direct the listener to the podcast of the first show, which is available at www.davidmgreen.com. The M is very important. Just go there. You can hear more of Tim Ray's voiceovers. We did a segment on it. But from one voiceover person to another now. And recently I was fortunate enough to be able to interview Pete Smith, an interview that you listening will be able to hear right now.
Pete Smith, welcome to Pow Wow.
Thank you very much, David. I love teepees and I love anything with a Red Indian influence, so powwows, hopefully right up my alley.
Oh, fantastic. You're one of the few people who actually got the Native American reference there.
Oh, yes. Too right. I know where you're coming from. So, I can see the smoke signals.
Well done. And may I say, wow. What an honour it is to interview you.
Well, it's very nice to be asked. Thank you very much. You know, when you get to my age, I'm 68, and I've been at Channel 9 in Melbourne. I did a stint in Adelaide too at 9, but I've been here for, 45 years almost.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, time's a bit of a thief, David, as we all probably know, and your listeners will know too. You know, time just goes to nowhere, and you turn around, and all of a sudden, it's all over.
When were you here in Adelaide?
In Adelaide, I was there in the late 70s. I can't swear to about 1978, I did a tonight show on NWS9 for nearly 12 months.
Oh, wow.
That was following in the wake of Ernie Sigley's era.
Way before my time, I'm afraid.
Oh, absolutely, yes. But you might see some old black and white photos kicking around in a museum sometime, and you'll remember the reference.
All right. Well, you're probably best known as being that voiceover guy from Channel 9.
You mean the guy who says, "Sale of the Century," or who used to say it. I hope I'm remember for something more than that, but yes, it is pretty recognisable. It went on for 21 years, so people's evening meal was interrupted with that night after night.
Oh, that's great, because I thought it was going to be really awkward, because I was going to ask you to do that, but I'm glad we've got that out of the way at the start of the interview.
It clears the air, doesn't it?
It definitely.
If it doesn't do that, it clears the earwax.
Tell us, when did you discover you had been blessed with perfect vocal cords?
Oh, look, I don't know. I think going to school, the kids, I don't know what it's like going to school these days, but in my era, back in the the early 50s, the kids wanted to, at one stage or other, they wanted to be a fireman or a policeman. The girls wanted to be a nurse. It might be the same these days, I don't know. But with us, people like myself and Philip Brady, who works on radio in Melbourne currently, but had a lot of television shows back in the 50s and 60s, Mike Walsh, who now is a theatrical entrepreneur, owns Her Majesty's Theatre in Melbourne. People like that, all my school friends, we wanted to be radio announcers. And unlike the kids who wanted to be policemen, it lasted a lot longer than 2 or 3 weeks. That was our ambition. And even though some of us went to university, that love of radio, there was no TV at the time, that love of radio persisted, and somehow we just fell into it.
Hmm. Well, how did you start out in this crazy world of show business?
I was a messenger boy at the ABC. All I wanted to do was get on radio, because it was a big deal then. If you can, well, you can't cast your mind back that far, but I can tell you that before TV, radio really was bigger than TV ever was. Because, you know, radio, we used to sit around listening to those wonderful serials like Blue Hills on the ABC and The Search for the Golden Boomerang and Superman and all that stuff. As kids, we'd sit on the floor there looking up at the flickering light of the radio, and while it might sound corny now, that was the common man's entertainment.
I try to bring some of that back to my program, although I don't think anyone's listening anymore.
Oh, I'm sure they're listening, and I think with radio, you know, if you've ever been in radio, no matter what happens to you, whether you get into TV or, I mean, there are so many other avenues now to, you know, so many areas of endeavour for people like yourself and maybe even like me still, but, you know, you never lose your love of radio. With radio, you can use your imagination, or the listener is allowed to use their imagination. I can remember when I did all that, those wonderful days with Mick Molloy and Tony Martin, when they teamed up on Drive Time Radio, they had me in as their announcer, and I was involved in a lot of their comedy sketches and stuff. Things that still exist today, actually, on CDs that were made available then. And I remember, you know, Tony and Mick used to go in for a lot of sound effects in their comedy sketches. And I mean, with a sound effect of a waterfall, you've got it straight away in the viewer's mind, but in their imagination. But on television, you've got to spend $1 million to get a waterfall. So it's radio's fantastic and never been bettered.
Well, you mentioned Martin Molloy there. How exactly did you meet Tony Martin and Mick Molloy? Because, of course, there's a considerable age difference, if you don't mind me saying.
Yes, well, I started out as the D generation. And if you're into comedy, Australian comedy, you'll realise that the D generation was the breeding ground, if you like, for many of the performers like Tony and Mick later on, and people who went on the Late Show. Many of those original performers from the so-called D generation, they were on radio initially, and that's where I first caught up with them. But then they did the Late Show series for the ABC, and then they became Working Dog and produced hit movies like The Castle and The Dish, and they are now currently, of course, with Channel 10 doing Thank God You're Here, which has been a big success. So those people who started out with Tony and Mick and all that sort of group, Judith Lucy, for instance, they all went on to bigger and better things, and they're still very much a part of the Australian comedy entertainment scene.
Well, you've been involved with so many shows over the years, from In Melbourne Tonight right up to The Nation with Mick Molloy earlier this year. Is there one particular TV show or radio show or film that you've been involved in that you enjoyed more than any of the others?
I loved working with Tony and Mick on their movies, even though I only had very small parts in things like Cracker Jack and Tony's movie,
Bad Eggs?
Bad Eggs. I was an aging police officer in that, and I didn't need any makeup, funnily enough, you know. And they were fun things to do, but I've got to tell you, apart from the joy of working with people like Bert and Graham, and Bert is still a dear friend, and we still keep in touch, of course, because he's still at Nine in Melbourne, and so am I in a small way. Apart from working with those dear people in those fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants live television nights or days, I really think the highlight has been working with people like Tony and Mick, both on television, in The Nation, as you say. Unfortunately, it didn't get the bulk audience that a commercial television station requires to keep it on air, so that went. But I'm sure with their inventive minds, both Tony and Mick are thinking of things are new, and they'll pop up again for sure. But I guess another happy association was when, sitting in the office I'm in now talking to you here at the Fun Factory, as we affectionately call it, at Television City in Richmond in Melbourne, I'm sitting here in this office surrounded by cobwebs and memorabilia from, 50 years of TV, I suppose I've been here so long, and a guy walked through the door, introduced himself and said, "I've just signed with Channel 9 to do a Tonight Show, and I would love you to be our announcer, because, you know, you were there in the Graham Kennedy days, and this is a new show we're doing. It's got a comedy feel to it." And I said, "Oh, yes, what's your name?" And he said, "Sean McAuliffe." Now,
wow.
I'll never forget Sean walking through the door. That was our first meeting. He came up on and did it on his own bat. I could have said, oh, go jump. I don't want to be bothered. But I was absolutely thrilled to be asked. And unfortunately, that series only ran 13 weeks. Again, a terrific series, which I think I've heard Sean is putting out on DVD.
Yeah, that's what the internet tells me as well.
Right, I look forward to seeing some of that because it was a joy to be, again, just a supporting player in something as inventive as that. And, of course, Sean is on view now, isn't he? Pardon the free plug on his new Newstopia show.
Oh, yes, it's on SBS at 10 p.m, I believe, on Wednesdays.
I just think his comedy is sensational. And what is the legal profession's loss is entertainment's gain, as far as I'm concerned. Sean's a very funny guy.
Well, I believe you did the voiceover segment for a segment called Audience Participation, mainly on McAuliffe Tonight. And I've prepared a bit, and I've actually brought a clip here, so, you know, the listeners at home can refamiliarize themselves with how funny that was. Would you mind if I played
it? I'd love to hear it.
On the original Darod's wheel tonight, Joan, you could win this state-of-the-art audio cassette player from JVC. At $25, music has never sounded so audible. As easy as JVC? A rhetorical question worth pondering. Or how about this fabulous sewing machine from Pfaff? Yes, sirree. Whether it be a smart linen suit or one made from the eviscerated skin of your murder victims, then look no further than Pfaff. Pfaff, the P is silent, but my God, the machine isn't. Back to you, Sean.
Ah, that brings back lots of happy memories. I mean, you can hear the inventiveness in the writing.
Oh, definitely.
And then you can hear the audience, and you can't buy that. You can put in canned laughter to support something that's really not up to the mark, but all that was live laughter. It's just music to an entertainer's ears, and to be able to be handed that sort of material and do it on air, just a career highlight, as I said.
Did you do those live or were they pre-recorded?
No. We did them all live. We were all there live doing them.
Yep. Wow.
Yep.
You did very well. You didn't make very many mistakes.
Oh, I think you'll find if you listen to it all, there were a few fluffs and bits and pieces. But, you know, there's something about everybody sitting in the audience at home. Everybody, every one of us is making mistakes every hour of the day. But you don't have to make excuses for it. And on television, that was part of the joy of that live feel that Sean and everybody who came before him did. And that was that, you know, the immediacy, the flying by the seat of your pants. It's a cliche, I know, but the audience gets the feeling. Now with videotape, we've got wonderful technological advances. You can't tell the difference between tape and live, but it removes, for the entertainer, for the person on camera, it removes that knife edge, you know, that tightrope walk, the emotional part of the act, where you know you haven't got a second chance, you just have to keep going. Mm. I recall once during that wonderful era, the wonderful run that Tony Barber did with Sale of the Century and Glenn Ridge after him, who picked the show up and made it his own. I remember one year when Tony was doing it, we had the cash jackpot, and that cash jackpot went into hundreds of thousands of dollars towards the end. We had armed guards there and God knows what, because it was, in reality, the money was there. It was in a huge acrylic box that came down from the ceiling when the fanfare went off, and I said, tonight's cash jackpot is, you know, and do all this sort of stuff. Down would come the box, and here would be Tony with the finalist, you know, the guy who's won through for the night, standing there, the lady or gentleman standing there, and the box would come down. Well, this particular night, the big box came down on the fanfare, and I'm singing out, you know, here's tonight's cash, and it hit Tony on the shoulder, and it almost knocked him out. It must have got the side of his head, and mainly on the shoulder, and it must almost knocked him out. Now, Tony kept going, because Tony is a pro, used to doing live television, not used to saying, oh, we'll stop and do that again. And so, unfortunately, with videotape, although you get a very sophisticated finished product, sometimes the rough round the edges pieces are better than making it sophisticated, for want of a better word. And when you stop tape, you take very often, sometimes take that magic moment out, and you can never get it back.
I have seen that footage somewhere. I remember seeing it on 50 years of television
something
like that.
Run that sort of thing. And luckily, they had it. But so many things now in the next 50 years you won't see in those retrospective programs, because if something does go wrong, they stop tape. They stop. and they fix it up. And so the golden moment, the outtake, the fluff, is gone, which is a shame because sometimes they're the things that get the biggest laughs.
Definitely. I suppose that's almost what radio still has over television, that live aspect.
It has. I mean, you can create it straight away, you know. Hey, there's a big snowball coming down. Look out, David, it's coming into the studio. Look out, it's going to crash through the door. And I mean, immediately in your mind, if it's presented properly, you can see that snowball rolling in towards the studio door, can't you?
I'll have to edit that in later.
Well, you don't need to. I did it so well, you don't need the rumbling effect. Or maybe you do.
Ironically there, radio still has that live aspect, but that was, of course, a pre-recorded interview. Hi, I'm David M. Green. That was the first 60% of my interview with veteran Channel 9 announcer Pete Smith. We'll hear the rest a little later in the show, but the show, of course, being Pow Wow on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM. Tim Ray's still here.
Yep.
Tim,
yeah.
You are still here.
I'm still here. Not all here, but mostly here.
Some of
60%
here.
Here.
All right. Get the rest later in the show.
Yeah.
Along with the other interview. Strange.
Mm.
You're like, was that the portrait of Dorian Gray? Pete Smith interview is your portrait. And as it, I don't know. I haven't read the book.
No, neither have I.
Did you used to watch Sale of the Century?
It was fantastic. The only thing I watched it for, of course, was for the voiceovers.
Hmm. Did you watch it when Tony Barber was the host? Because he stopped hosting it in 1990.
I can vaguely remember Barber as the host.
Okay, because I don't. I used to watch it when Glenn Ridge was the host.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of my memories, obviously, with Glenn Ridge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
It was good. What did he do? He did some sort of Outback show after that.
He did. I forget.
Great Outdoors, something like that. I remember I used to watch it a lot when I was like 6 years old. Mm. I was religiously watching it. And I remember I did something bad one day or something like that. And my parents said, all right, as punishment, you can either pay us 50 cents or you can forego watching Sale of the Century. And I chose to pay 50 cents.
Yeah, I did the same. I'm right there with you. I want to know when what became Pete rather than Peter.
Hmm. And is Peter short for something?
Maybe.
Have to research that.
Mm.
Wikipedia. People at home. Don't do it now. Do it after the show. But right now, an ID followed by a song.
Pow Wow.
As endorsed by Radio Adelaide's prestigious Albanian program. You heard me.
I need to leave my behind in the past.
My God, that song is weird. Hi, I'm David M. Green. You're listening to Pow Wow on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM. Tim Ray's also with me.
I'm listening as well.
Thank you. And that very strange song on before was Detour Through Your Mind by the B-52s.
Great riff.
Good riff.
Yeah.
Strange voice, I think.
Mm.
Tim, I don't know. I don't know if you noticed, and also you at home. Did you notice there was some backwards talking at the end, towards the end of that track there?
I was perplexed by it.
Hmm. Well, that's convenient.
Mm.
Well, thanks to the miracle of computer technology, I can now play it backwards. So therefore, it would be backwards twice and then at the correct...
Two backwards makes a forward.
That's right.
Yeah.
Two wrongs make a right.
Mm.
Play it backwards for you to reveal, possibly for the first time ever, probably for the first time ever on Radio Adelaide, Fred Schneider's hidden message. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Catch that?
What, he did it with a parrot?
All right, for those of you who didn't quite hear it because it was a little bit distorted, just there Fred Schneider said, I buried my parakeet in the backyard. Oh no, you're playing the record backwards. Watch out, you might ruin your needle.
Amazing.
Foolish to assume that in 2007 we'd still be using a record player set on reverse to be deciphering hidden messages from songs recorded in 1986. But then again, the computers back then were even worse than the ones at Radio Adelaide.
This is the sweetest victory of all.
Sorry about that. They start playing by themselves sometimes. But, Tim, I believe we have a special connection to Fred Schneider.
We certainly do.
Please explain. I've forgotten.
We were the instigators back at our high school a few years ago now. We wanted to get off the ground a Fred Schneider Appreciation Society because we wanted our names to appear in the yearbook and also on the big honour boards that were in our big hall upstairs. We, you know, the sailing team, the football team, the cricket team. The Fred Schneider Appreciation Society.
That's all we wanted, and I believe we... Well, I didn't do it personally. I think even John Timoney, who is going to be on the show hopefully in the future sometime, he put together a letter. He wrote a letter to the vice principal.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And he said, we demand a Fred Schneider Appreciation Society.
Yeah.
We want to be officially recognised by the school.
Yep.
We require an honour board placing and a section in the yearbook. And he had a meeting with the vice principal, and the vice principal said, you are well within your rights to initiate some sort of society, whatever you want to call it. However, you won't be recognised by the school. So no section in the yearbook, no honour thing.
Denied.
So do you know what he did next?
What did he do?
I think we scrapped that idea, and he sent another letter to the vice principal. This time it wasn't the Fred Schneider Appreciation Society. It was the Rob Schneider Appreciation Society, and that was also knocked back as well, obviously. I don't see how they could make an exception for one Schneider, but not two.
That would be setting double Schneiders.
That's a... obviously not allowed.
No.
Yeah. And, you know, while we're on the subject of backwards hidden messages, I was listening to my favourite Christmas song the other day, you know, getting into the spirit of the season, etc., and I heard this. Love you'll never fool me again. Last Christmas I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away. You gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone. Now, did you hear that?
No, what could that possibly reveal backwards?
Well, have a listen to George Michael again, this time in reverse.
Oh, I can't take this commercial Christmas rubbish, you know what I mean? After I finish this recording, I'm heading straight to the nearest public toilet. Oh.
Tim, what do you make of that?
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
But intriguing at the same time.
Well, each to their own, I suppose.
Oh, my God!
Exactly. Well, listener, my interview with Pete Smith will continue and conclude in a moment, but right now, Radio Adelaide's funds are running low, and we are contractually required to play this. Radio Adelaide, the future is now, and now is slightly earlier than the present. As now the future is now here now at Radio Adelaide, that means that now all those now inside the Radio Adelaide studios are technically now in the future. If one of your life ambitions is to travel forward through time, now you don't have to wait any longer, because here now at Radio Adelaide, now it's the future, and the future is now. The first step to ensuring the future remains here and now at Radio Adelaide, both here and now and well into the future, which, as I said, is currently located here and now at Radio Adelaide, is to become a Radio Adelaide subscriber. Do it now to avoid doing it in the future. Simply call in on 8303 5000 or drop by the Radio Adelaide studios at 228 North Terrace in the city. If not now, then soon, and join our vibrant, friendly, futuristic community. Now only $52 for a year's subscription, or half of that with a concession card. If you become a Radio Adelaide subscriber now, you'll leave the present behind in the past, where it belongs, and take the first step towards the future of community radio. Because here at Radio Adelaide, the future is now. The future may or may not be available here and now at Radio Adelaide. For more information about time travel, consult Physics Textbook, spoken by David M. Green, Adelaide.
Spices.
Jeez.
Food tells us who we are.
Fat. Love fat.
Fresh coriander.
Oh, pork fat. Lard. Dripping. Butter.
Snags on the Barbie, of course.
Unctuous. That's a good word.
Summer is all about tomatoes. Tomatoes,
fresh basil and olive oil, and there's nothing finer, nothing simpler.
Get your taste of summer on Gastronaut every Wednesday night at 9, all summer.
Jazz Scene, the free street magazine with the best jazz information in town, featuring news, reviews, gig guide, festivals and jazz on radio. Now covering 5 states, Jazz Scene reaches jazz enthusiasts around Australia. Pick up a copy from jazz venues and music stores or subscribe and for a small fee have Jazz Scene mailed to you. Phone or fax 8212 0406, email donbrow@jazzscene.com.au or visit the website for more information about station sponsor Jazz Scene.
Oh hi, didn't see you there. You might not have heard, but this summer, there's a radio revolution on your favorite radio station. This one. It's because I, Adam, will be going where no radio show has dared to go before. We'll be playing music and talking about things. Do you like music? Do you like hearing about people talking about things? If you said yes, tune into Radio Adelaide this summer for Adam.
Ah, Adam, what truly amazing radio. Hi, I'm David M. Green, and you are listening to Pow Wow on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM. Tim Ray is my guest. Is this guest this evening?
No, right.
And then song on previously was Private Eyes by Hall & Oates. Very smooth, soft rock music, which I'm sure Radio's Adam would no doubt approve. But right now, back to my interview with Pete Smith. And Pete Smith is a man who's met a lot of famous movers and shakers over the years. So I asked him if he finds himself guilty of the occasional name drop.
I have to do a fair few talks in my job, if you like. You know, most of those engagements are for, fundraising nights and so forth. And when I do, the only thing about getting old, the beauty of it is you have met quite a lot of people and you have got, hopefully, a few anecdotes that will stop the audience going to sleep. And I think that's, whether it's being a mate of Bert's and sharing some fun times with Sammy Davis Jr. backstage, or meeting Van Johnson, who was one of the MGM star players during the golden years of Hollywood. I mean, you can just reel them off and guess, maybe they're only names to you, but you know, the thing about getting older and having experience is that you do meet these people, and I don't think for personal gain, but it does come in handy when you've got a story or two to tell.
Now, according to your Wikipedia page, which is where I get most of my information from these days, you were awarded an Order of Australia for service to the community.
That's right. I was awarded that honour for most of the charity things I do, which are very kindly under the blessing of the Nine Network. So in a way, there's a big advantage about being on television or being around so long, because people do know who you are, hopefully, and there's some value in your service to the community, hopefully, when you go out and do a talk or fundraiser.
Did somebody nominate you, or did you just get a call from the...
Yes, you're nominated. I don't know exactly how the process goes. You've got to be nominated for it, and it's not just one person. It's a rigorous process. I had somebody's name come across my desk a few years ago, and then the next year it came across the desk again, and it wasn't successful, and it was somebody who was very, very deserving too, but it never happened.
Hmm.
Now, it might happen in the future, but they get an enormous number of nominations, and they don't accept them all, of course. So I feel very privileged.
Is an Order of Australia, is it the kind of thing you keep on display on your mantelpiece, or do you keep it locked away?
Well, I mean, some people might. You can actually have it, the medals are quite large, ribbons and medals, save somebody in the line of fire, but in reality there are very few opportunities, if any, for you to wear those medals. People in the military can wear them if they go to a passing out parade or something like that, but ordinarily when you're asked back to Government House, it really is only the protocol is that you just wear the miniature, what's called the miniature, which is really a very small circle, the Order of Australia. The actually Australia medal, which is the next one up, has a little blue circle in the middle of it. It's very subtle, really. It's not huge at all, like you might expect.
Very Australian, I would say.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, it is. It's understated, but everybody who's anybody knows the importance of it.
Well, you've also released two nostalgic double CDs featuring the great British dance bands of the 1930s and 40s.
You have done your homework, haven't you?
It's all on Wikipedia.
Oh, is it? Oh.
Yes. What is it about British dance bands from the 30s and 40s? Well, what do they have that, say, the Pet Shop Boys or Barbra Streisand don't?
I personally think they had melody. They had bounce, they had melody, they were bright, the lyrics were incredible, and the reason I like, I love Tommy Dorsey, Glenn Miller, and all those American dance bands that were so famous during the war years, but the British dance bands were a completely different sort of feel. Every record that was ever, and they were the pop records of the day, they were released then on the old 78s, before microgrooves came in, but every record that was released was always, whether it was a comedy number or straight love song or whatever, they were always released in strict dance tempo, because apart from the movies, apart from the cinema, dance halls were like Tabaret and Tats Pokies are today. They are on every corner, especially in England and here in Australia too. Dancing, public dancing, was very, very popular. And that wasn't just the dancing when you get where you get up and, sort of stomp your feet and don't touch your partner. This was a chance to hold a girl in your arms. A rare opportunity, I can tell you. I even held a few boys at one stage, I was just finding my way, of course.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
But, the British dance bands, you'd have to play one or subject your listeners to one of those bouncy numbers with the inventive lyrics so that they could see what I'm talking about, I think, to fully explain it. But, and those numbers, when you think about the wonderful technological advances in recording today, it's amazing how those numbers come across when you consider that they would have been done with not multiple microphones. It would have been one or two microphones in front of the orchestra, and the vocalist would have had a microphone, of course, because they didn't have 16-track master machines and all this sort of thing. Many's a time they didn't even have tape recordings when they started in the 30s. All they had was an acetate disc that the sound was cut into, and that was that became the master. And so there was really an opportunity only to do it once. But the beauty of those records, some of them on those albums we put out, Bill Armstrong in Melbourne, who's sort of the Australian father of recording engineering, those records we put out, we cleaned up through computer processes and so forth and took all the hisses and clicks out, the surface noise.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because quite a few of the tracks on the on those CDs were actually recorded, even though it was back in the 30s and into the early 40s, they were recorded at the Abbey Road Studios, long before the Beatles were even born.
Oh,
isn't
wow.
that amazing?
Yeah.
So it's a rich heritage there, too.
May I ask, you've done a few films. Have you ever done a nude scene?
No, unfortunately, I was asked to do one in one of, I think it was Tony's film, but unfortunately I didn't have the equipment, so I failed the test. You have to be well endowed now with the giant cinemascope screens and so forth, and unfortunately, being a child of the 30s, I didn't have the material. I could have been a star.
Oh, what could have been?
Collect your thoughts, but try not to mentally think about it too much.
Pete Smith, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
It's been a treat to talk to you, and all the best to your listeners. And all I can say is, see you around like a record. Pete Smith speaking.
Yes, he certainly is. And that was my interview with legendary Channel 9 voiceover guy, Pete Smith. The full interview will be available to download from www.davidmgreen.com soon. But right now, at the personal request of Pete Smith, one of his big band numbers, and believe me, this stuff is incredibly hard to find, especially when you're not willing to pay for it. Here's Bert Ambrose and the Mayfair Hotel Orchestra with their 1932 smash hit, I Guess I'll Have to Change My Plan. You're on Pow Wow on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM, temporarily diverting from playing only obscure 80s new wave music.
Hello, I'm Radio's David M. Green. All summer on Radio Adelaide, it's Pow Wow. Pow Wow is the single greatest comedy show ever. Hosted by me.
Are there sketches?
Yes, plus there's guests, 80s new wave music, interviews both real and fabricated, obscure references, and other things.
Are there sketches?
Yes, so tune in Wednesday nights at 11 on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM.
Are there sketches?
You're not even on this show. Bow wow. You a car? Are you being driven right now? Don't you think it's a little weird that my voice is inside you? Well, ignore your cold metallic feelings and sit up straight, because it's now time for Smitty's Driving Tips with Smitty.
Have you heard about those savvy motorheads who fill their tyres with nitrogen instead of old-fashioned regular air? They claim that due to its inertness and lack of moisture and oxidising qualities, nitrogen is a better gas for tyres. Well, statistics have shown that it's actually better because nitrogen is lighter than oxygen and creates less wear. Therefore, theoretically, that would mean that hydrogen is the best gas for tyre inflation. So next time you're conducting illegal street racing with your friends, blow them all away by filling your tyres with hydrogen. Like so.
Smitty, will you ever win? This is Pow Wow, now on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM. I'm David M. Green.
Pow, right in the kisser.
Wow.
Oh, and Tim Ray is my guest.
I'm still here.
How are things?
Yeah, I'm a bit menorrheic.
Oh, again?
Yeah.
Two weeks in a row.
That time of the week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I may be wrong, but I've heard Christmas time is coming.
It is.
Does this particular day of the year hold any special significance for you or your humanoid family?
Something about the birth of Santa.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm.
Do you have any plans for Christmas?
I've got to separate the time evenly between mum and dad, so...
Oh, that's a shame.
Hmm. But it's all good.
Well, I should leave you with that and move on. Have you visited David... I'm sorry. Oh, no, don't look like that. No.
I'm whimpering now.
Turn that frown upside down. You know what? Solution to your depression?
Mm.
Go to davidmgreen.com.
Okay.
Have you been there recently?
I went there today.
Oh, great. Did you listen to the podcast of last week's show, which was up there?
I certainly did.
Fantastic. There's also some old segments from Brain Damage up there on the Brain Damage page.
Mm.
There's some old segments from the Green Room up on the Green Room page, which are my previous radio shows. Spent hours putting that stuff up there. You have no idea how long it takes to edit. Find it all, edit and upload it and arrange it. It's done for you and you can just go there and look at it. Also, there's some video up there as well.
Looks fantastic.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. That's davidmgreen.com, not davidgreen.com, for obvious reasons that will become apparent after you go there. Just make sure the kids are asleep. Tim,
yeah,
we're reaching the end of the program. Thank you very much for joining me.
You're most welcome. Most always great to be here. I'm just wondering about Powwow.
Mm-hmm.
Were you concerned about the possible implications of the political correctness of the name?
No. Well, not until now.
No. Well, in this world of political correctness, obviously we can't say, you know, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, because that's far, far beyond political correctness. I would like to wish all your listeners best wishes for an environmentally conscious, socially responsible, low-stress, non-addictive, gender-neutral summer solstice holiday practiced within the most joyous traditions of the religious persuasion of your choice, but with respect for the religious persuasion of others who choose not to practice their own religion, as well as those who choose not to practice a religion at all, plus a fiscally successful, personally fulfilling, and medically uncomplicated recognition of the generally accepted calendar year 2008, but not without due respect for the calendars of choice of the other cultures whose contributions have helped make our society great, without regards to the race, creed, colour, religious or sexual preferences of the wishers. And a disclaimer, this greeting is subject to clarification or withdrawal. It implies no promise by the wisher to actually implement any of the wishes for him or herself or others, and no responsibility for any unattended emotional stress these greetings may bring to those not caught up in the holiday spirit.
Hmm. Very concise.
Hmm. Yeah, I'd prefer that.
Well, Powwow, we'll return next Wednesday, 11 p.m. here on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM. Up next is Black Market Radio with a variety of punk, hardcore and ska selections from their personal musical libraries. So until next time, it is the holidays, so take Smitty's driving tips seriously and stay safe on our state's poorly maintained road network. I'm David M. Green, wishing you and your loved ones a very, very merry, merry Jesus Christmas. Good night.
Just a fool's paradise. It's just a fool's paradise. It's just a fool's paradise. Anyhow. It's just a fool's paradise. It's just a fool's paradise. It's just a fool's paradise. Anyhow. Yeah.